Thank God for your presence as well.
Yes.
I know that the Lord I will serve, this great God, this yes. mighty God,
yes.
is going to reward your life and bless your life
yes.
for his presence here today.
Praise God.
I'm sure he has a word for you as well.
Yes.
yes.
And every word that is spoken by the Lord demands a response and an answer.
Yes.
And so I just thank God for each of you. Now let me read the word that was read this morning, or let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful occasion. We thank you for your sweet presence.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you that you are already ministering to the heart of everyone that is present before you. We thank you, God Almighty, that Lord God, your word will not return to you void in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
God Almighty, may your anointing flow upon each life. And God, may we not fail to honor you and praise you.
Yes.
We bless you, Father, for this word this morning. We give you thanks in Jesus' mighty name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
So this morning, the scripture that was read to you, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, I'm going to minister from that from these words. And I'm also going to use a lot of other scriptures. And I pray that it will, I know that God's word always ministers to us.
Yes.
The word that was read, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Yes. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Somebody say a rock.
A rock. Yes.
And everyone that beareth these sayings of mine, beareth, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall.
Yes, yes.
This is a parable which is given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the parables that he uses, parables are God is using some earthly, natural situations that we are acquainted with to be able to always to give us a fresh understanding of a spiritual truth, a spiritual law, or a spiritual principle. And so he has been using different parables, and he uses what man does, and in those days it was mostly agricultural. And so he would use the parable of the seed and the sower to try to get us to understand that the sower was God and the seed was his word, and what that word does. Then he also uses the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, and he sent out and called for laborers, and he went out at early in the morning, and he called some laborers, and he said to them, I will pay you a penny for the labor that you do. And then at 3 o'clock, at the third hour, which is 9 o'clock, he said that he went out again. God is always seeking after us.
Yes.
And so he went out at the ninth hour again, and he called more laborers, and he says to them, I will pay you what is right. He didn't say, I'm going to pay you a penny. He says, I'm going to pay you what is right.
Yes.
And at the 12th hour again, he went out. The 6th, the 9th, yes. And now at the 11th hour,
yes.
he went out again. And he called laborers, you know, he's seeking. Even if it's at the last minute, God is seeking us.
Yes.
At the very last. And he said to them, I will pay you what is right. When, in the midst of that, when he called them at the end of the day to pay them, he paid those who came in last at the 11th hour, he paid them a penny. And he also paid each and every group a penny. The first group, the second group, the third group, the fourth group. But there was some in that first group who began to grumble. The Bible said that they murmured.
Yes.
And so the Lord had to put them in place. And he said to them, I have not done you any wrong. Why he says that Didn't I pay your penny? They said yes. And he says, am I not right to do that which is proper with what I hold, my own things?
Yes.
And the reason he can say it is because God owns all things. Somebody bless his name.
Bless the Lord.
Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and his fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell in it. So he uses parables to be able to teach some spiritual truth. And so in this particular parable, he uses he touches on two foundations. One built upon a rock and one built upon sand.
Yes.
But the parable is not just about the foundation of the house. It's addressing our spiritual foundation. But I find even beyond that, and more importantly to me, this particular parable is that he's speaking about the word and the power of the word. He's speaking about the word and what it can do for human life.
Yes.
And so from this morning, I'm going to raise up a title. The title I'm going to use is There is Power in His Word.
Yes.
Somebody bless his name. There's power in his name.
Yes.
So in this parable, Matthew left out something that another gospel writer captured. Luke, with a comparable gospel writing, Luke says this, and I'm going to read it. I'm in the King James Version, Luke chapter 6, verse 47 to 49. Luke says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And verse 48, he says, he's like a man which built a house. Listen to this. And dig deep and lay the foundation on a rock.
Yes, sir.
Matthew didn't capture and say it's a foundation.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Matthew also didn't say that whosoever cometh to me.
Yes.
Matthew says that whoever hear and do these things,
yes,
is likened unto that person.
Yes.
And so we got to be mindful that some of the things when Jesus says to them, whoever hear these sayings of mine,
yes,
and do it then.
Yes.
When he says these sayings, he's referring to all of the sayings. But specifically, we go to Matthew chapter 5, we can come down and give a summary of some of what he was teaching. You know, we call it the Beatitudes in chapter 5. And so I'm going to just quickly give a summary of some of the topics that he covered. He talks about, you know, blessed are the poor and so forth. But he mentioned that his teaching was on the salt of the earth. That you are the salt of the earth. Right? And then he comes so forth in chapter 5, verse 21. He's teaching on murder and anger. And his teaching is always revolutionary. Somebody bless the Lord.
Yeah.
He's not talking about murder as you and I know it. He's talking about in our heart, we murder,
yeah,
right? And so he's talking, Jesus always is looking at the motives of the heart.
Yes.
Sin is the motive of the heart.
Yes,
we can do something that looks right to everybody else,
yes,
but if it be God, it is a sin.
Indeed.
I can just go and bless my brother here with, if I had it, $100, right? And you guys might say, oh, good, what a beautiful thing. But God will look at the motive, and my motive might be, I want to impress you.
Yes. Yes.
So God looks at the motive of the heart. Somebody say he looks at the motive of my heart.
Yes.
Yeah, he looks at the motive of the heart.
Yes.
So this is how God works. And he says that this saying of mine, and I continue to say, he's teaching on temptation. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Yes.
But I say unto you that whosoever look at another woman, lust after her,
yes,
has committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Yes.
Teachings on divorce. And then he has teachings on oaths. You know, again, you have heard that has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not persuade thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thy oath. He's teaching also teachings on forgiveness. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek,
yes,
turn to him the other also. So he's teaching on forgiveness. He's teaching on loving our one's enemies. And he says, you know, that we must love our enemies. Then he's teaching says, take heed that we do not do our deeds, our good deeds, before men, so that we may receive what? Praise from them.
Yes.
He's not saying that we don't do good deeds if it's even in public.
Yeah.
Again, he's looking at the motive of the heart. He says, don't do a deed so that you may be seen of men. In other words, he's saying this, your motive is you want to be seen of men. And then he goes on from the end of chapter 6, he's teaching on prayer. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street.
Yeah.
Again, he's not stopping us from praying. He's looking at the motive of the heart. If the motive is that you want to impress,
yes,
then the motive is wrong. So he's looking at that. And then he moves on and he teaches on teaching on fasting. And after that, teaching on treasures in heaven. Then he comes on teaching on worrying. Many of us get so worried about the condition of life that we forget that God rules over, is supreme over life itself. Somebody bless his name. And so then he starts, he comes over in chapter 7 and he says, talks about judging and being judged. And then in verse 7 of chapter 7, he's teaching about asking and receiving. He says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find.
Yes.
Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Yes.
So he's teaching on all of this. So having done that now, he brings up this illustration of these two foundations. And he begins to teach even further from that. Now, remember, this parable was spoken by Jesus himself. And he says, listen, if you hear the saying of mine and do them, then you become like this.
Yes.
When we hear something, it's extremely important to identify who the source is. Because not everything that we hear, especially in today's social media, crazy society, not everything we hear, I'm not talking about the word, but not everything we hear, we must follow.
Yes.
You can't do everything that we have heard.
Yes.
And so he's saying, listen, we have to check the source.
Yes.
And so let's check who the source is. His name is Jesus. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes.
And so the source of the information is extremely important.
Yes.
Never forget that. The source of the information is extremely important. Many of us trust our mothers and fathers, I'm sure. Right? But their word does not supersede the word of the King of Kings.
Yes.
Right, so the source of information is extremely important. Is the source credible?
Yes.
That's what we have to identify and ask ourselves. Is the source credible?
Yeah.
Is the source qualified? And all of us have to ask of Jesus. Does the source have authority, Pastor Henry?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Word comes. And does the source have a proven track record?
Yes.
So can you trust the content of what is said? Jesus, in his words, let's check the source. What makes him qualified or what makes him credible?
Yes.
On the day when he was baptized, the Father in heaven declared unto all those around,
yes, sir,
and to you and I today,
yes, sir,
says, this is,
yes, sir,
my beloved,
yes,
Son,
yes, sir,
in whom we must be proud, in peace.
Yes, sir.
And this is my Son, hear ye him.
Yes, sir.
So he presents him. This is his credential.
Yes,
and this is he's qualified by what the Father says.
Yes.
Does the source of authority?
Yes.
We have to ask, does the source of authority?
Yes.
Because if we're going to believe this word,
yes,
and because every revelation and every parable requires from us a response.
Yes, sir.
The response is either going to be yes or no. Am I going to do it or am I not going to do it?
Yes.
And if we don't do anything, it means that we have answered yes. But either way, we have our responses there. Somebody bless his name.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
So, does he have the authority? Drop down with me to verse, in the same Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. And if you're taking notes, Matthew 28 and 29, this is the same group he's talking to now. I stopped at verse 27. But does he have the authority? Listen to what it says. It says, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, The people were astonished.
Yes, sir.
At his doctrine.
Yes.
For he taught them as one having what? Authority. Yes. And not as the scribes. Does he have authority? Yes.
Praise God.
The word equips us.
Yes, yes.
Right? And so God's good for us. Yeah. Psalm 119, the writer, 119 verse 16, the writer says, upon me, according unto thy word, that I may live. Thy word sustains, God's word sustains.
Yeah.
And he says, let me not be ashamed of my hope. And indeed, the Hebrew writer captures chapter 1, verse 3. He says, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person,
yes,
and was upholding all things by the word of his power.
Indeed. Indeed.
Because there's power in his word.
Yes,
I don't know what situation you're facing this morning,
yes,
but I'm here to tell you that the Lord says that there's power in his word.
Amen.
Whatever condition, whatever situation you're facing, there's a word that is available to counteract whatever you're dealing with. Somebody praise him.
Yes,
somebody praise him.
Yes,
somebody bless the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Bless the Lord that you need his word.
Yes,
so his word sustained.
Yes.
Elijah tell Elijah to go down to the brook. I have commanded ravens,
yes,
to feed you.
Yes.
His word will sustain you.
Yes.
Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I think it is, we have the sentence of death in ourselves.
Yes.
But God is the one that sustained him through it all.
Yes.
So God's word will sustain.
Yes.
And the third thing about the word, there are many things, but the third one I want to highlight this morning is that it makes you triumphant.
Yes.
It gives us the victory. Amen. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the word makes us, first it equips us, it sustains us, it makes us triumphant, it makes us victorious. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. So the word makes us triumphant. And then also, in Romans 8:37, we know this one, 8:37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. And in Revelation 12:11, we know the scripture as well. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death.
Yes.
The word makes us triumphant. It equips us, it sustains us, and it makes us triumphant.
Yes.
He completed it on the cross. The expression "it is finished" is a triumphant expression.
Yes.
When he says "it is finished," it is saying to you and I will take you across the finish line.
Yes,
sir. I'm going to see you through whatever you're going through.
Yes,
I will take you across the finish line.
Yes.
Yesterday's ongoing celebration,
yes,
of the life of Sister Warren,
yes,
and our presence as a church and as family and,
yes,
friends,
yes,
is acknowledging,
yes,
and is a testimony before all,
yes,
that God will take you across the finish line.
Yes,
that he took her across,
yes,
the finish line.
Yes,
God took your mom across the finish line.
Yes. Yes.
Sister Henry, he took your mom across the finish line.
Yes.
He took my mom across the finish line.
Yes.
And he will take us to across,
yes,
the finish line.
Yes.
Yes. So I can face tomorrow because he lives.
Yes.
I know who owns the future.
Yes.
I know who owns the future.
Yes.
My God owns the future. And he will take us across that finish line.
Yes, sir.
Encourage your neighbor beside you this morning.
Yes.
Just tell him God will take you across the finish line.
God will take you across.